Hi, my name is Scott, and I'm a member with Restored Church. If you're new, we want to welcome you and thank you for tuning in. We believe the church is not an event, but a family you belong to, so we would love the opportunity to connect with you. If you want to learn more about our church, or if we can help you in any way, please visit our website, www.restoredtemecula.church, and click on Contact. We also have a mobile app with resources, including our Sunday messages, information about upcoming events, and other ways to connect. You can download our app on the Apple or Android app stores. With all that said, we hope you enjoyed the message. I love you guys.
Raise your hand if you've survived the plague. Many of you. Hey, raise your hand if you haven't yet got the gnarly slew of illnesses that are going around. It's like 75% of our church is at home in bed right now trying to stay alive. Guys, I've missed you. I was jacked up. Okay, I was hurting really. My whole household got sick. That's where I was last week. Man, oh man, it was not fun. I'm like, I got the aches, like in a way that I haven't in so long. You can still kind of hear it in my nose. I'm a little stuffed up, but I'm fairly confident I'm not contagious, so you're good. You're in good hands. You're all right. But man, oh man, I was achy in bed. I was like, and here's the one of the hardest parts for us when we got this thing was me and Ebony were both down at the same time. So you parents in the room, you know how much fun it is when both husband and wife are ill and trying to take care of the kids and doing all the things. So this last week was so much fun for my family. It was awesome. It was really, really great. But I was there was a moment where I'm in bed and I'm just like hurting. And it had been probably a day and a half or so. I hadn't even looked at my phone, hadn't even checked my phone. And I was like, I probably need to just check, right? So I grab my phone and I go to open it and it's like, no. I'm like, okay, swipe up. No. And I'm like, what's going on with my phone? Is it broken? And I've had the thought, I'm like, what if it's my face? Guys, you know you're really sick when the face ID on your iPhone doesn't even recognize you. I had to type in my code. It was like, you're not Tom. I was like, no, this is really me. And phone's like, you are not Tom. And I'm like, this is me. My phone, it was doing something with me. My phone was informing me that the version of myself that I was presenting didn't match the version that it had on file. Okay? That in my sickly state, my appearance, and the reality of who I am didn't exactly match up in that moment. Interestingly enough, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about when our appearance on the outside, it doesn't quite match up with who we really are on the inside. And so, go ahead and grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 12. We're going to talk about when our appearance on the outside doesn't quite match up with who we really are on the inside, and what happens when that discrepancy is exposed. Because it's only a matter of time until it is, right? Matthew chapter 12, we're going to be jumping back into our series going through the Gospel of Matthew. If you don't have a Bible, no sweat, the words are going to be on the screen for you. But just to remind you guys, this series is all about, we've called this series The King and His Kingdom. And we are exploring and trying to learn as much as we possibly can about what the King, Jesus, and His kingdom is like. When I say the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, those phrases are synonymous. They're used interchangeably. But when I talk about the kingdom, I'm talking about what does it look like when God gets his way? God's rule, God's reign, right? And so before I jump into today's passage, I'm going to pray for us, and I'd love for you to join me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're really thankful for your continued love. Man, you really are kind to us. And so as we've been praying for months now, Jesus, we just want you to hear us say it. We want you in our village. We want to host you well. We want to host you in our minds, in our mouths, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our deeds, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our relationships, in our careers, in every single area of life. We want to host you well. And we want to experience your glory. So I pray this morning you would show us more of your glory, that we might experience you in ways that change us. I want to lift up all the households that are battling illness, and would you cleanse us, cleanse our church, heal our households, bring us all together again. So we love you, we look to you now, teach us, Holy Spirit, show us more and more of the glory and the beauty of Jesus that can set us free. We love you, and we pray these things together, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, I want to give you a little bit of context because it's been a minute since we've been in this passage, okay? So just so you know what's happening, I'm going to set the stage for you. This guy is brought to Jesus, right? And this guy, he's in bad shape. He's demon-possessed, the scriptures say. He's mute, which means he's not speaking, and he's blind. So he's in bad shape, right? So they bring this guy to Jesus, and if you remember what happens, Jesus heals him miraculously, supernaturally, okay? And the crowd of people who see this go down, they're like, oh my goodness, the power on display, the power that Jesus is displaying, they're like, hey, could this be the Messiah? Could this be the promised Savior? This guy's got this power. This could be him. You know, they're excited. And then the Pharisees, on the other hand, they have a different response to Jesus. They have a different response to Jesus. Do you guys remember what the Pharisees say? They say, oh, all this power that you're seeing with Jesus? No, he's doing this under the power of Satan. And, I mean, we've been through this, but you know what happens. Jesus, he responds to the words of the Pharisees. And in classic Jesus form, he exposes just how foolish they are, right? And he tells them that they're guilty of the unforgivable sin. Do you guys remember this? Do you remember what the unforgivable sin was that we talked about? Anybody? Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We did a whole sermon on this, but I want to just remind you. When we talk about the unforgivable sin, it sounds intense. The blaspheming of the Holy Spirit, essentially what that is it's a refusal to repent. All right? One of the main roles of God's Spirit is God sends his Spirit to graciously convict people, right? And he does that for a purpose, and the purpose is to promote repentance from turning away from sin that harms the self and harms other people, right? That's an opposition and rejection to God's lordship, God's kingdom, right? His rule, his reign, his way. So God sends his Spirit graciously to convict people, to promote that they would turn away from that sin and receive what? Receive his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy, right? So essentially, we're talking about a refusal to repent. A refusal to repent is essentially a refusal of forgiveness. And Jesus goes, that's the unforgivable sin, your refusal to be forgiven, right? That's what's happening here. And so that's what he describes what's happening with those Pharisees, but he doesn't just stop there. He keeps going. That's where we pick up here in Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 33. I'm going to read it. It says this. This is Jesus speaking. And he's speaking to the Pharisees and to the crowd. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Verse 34, brood of vipers. How can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good person produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil person produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. All right, that's our passage. Super, super exciting. Now, what I want to do is I want to break down Jesus' teaching here for just a bit. Look back at verse 33. He says, a tree is known by its fruit, okay? Last year, my family, we bought some trees, three trees specifically from Costco. Can you guys throw those photos up there for me? Okay, so you can kind of see these are the three trees that we purchased from Costco in hopes that they would yield some good fruit for us that we could enjoy as a family. Now, can you guess what the trees are? What's that one on the left? Yeah, that lemon tree is cranking. Okay, what about the other two? No idea. Okay, so why would you have no idea? Because you can't tell because there's no fruit on them, right? So you have a lemon tree and we have a lime tree and an orange tree, okay? Now, that lime tree and that orange tree, you can't tell which one is which. Why? Because a tree is known by its fruit, right? Jesus is saying, so are people. So are people. So if you're taking notes, here's my first point for you this morning. People, like trees, are known by their fruit. People, like trees, are known by their fruit. They're known by what comes out of them, right? And here's the thing. What comes out of us reveals things about us. Think about it. When you see tears, what's that revealing? Talk to me. Maybe some sadness.
Or happiness.
Or, yeah, Bishop. Or some deep moved happiness. They're being touched at a heart level, right? There's something going on there. It's revealing something. What about when you hear somebody laugh? Yeah. Now, there's like, in my opinion, there's kind of varying degrees of laughter. You have the kind of mild chuckle. You have that kind of medium, like, ha ha, that's funny. Like, this is really like moving me. I'm moved by this. And then you have that like full on loss of self-control, belly guttural laugh, which, can we just be honest, that's the best one. Like, does anybody in the room hate laughing? Nobody. Like, laughing is this beautiful thing. Now, here's one of the things I've learned about my wife. I didn't ask. She'll be fine. No. See, hear the laugh? Hear the laugh, we're good. No, but here's the thing. So here's the thing about Ebony. I know that she's in that later stage of laughing because she'll snort. She'll snort. Maybe you guys have heard it. It's cute. It's like, but she. I know that like when I see that, when I can observe that, she's tapping into like a deeper joy inside her. That joy is being revealed in a way that it's being exposed in a way that's like, that's genuine and authentic. It's what's really going on in her is coming out of her, right? Yeah. What comes out of us reveals things about us. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's lovely. Other times it's not. Right? Now, in this passage, Jesus, he's specifically talking about words, though. Did you catch that? He's specifically talking about words. Now, if you're familiar with the scriptures, you know that elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about the fruit of a person's life involving actions and all sorts of things. But in this passage, Jesus is just honing in on words. So that's where we're going to focus in this morning. We're just going to stick with words. But Jesus says that people, like trees, are known by their fruit. And he's teaching that our words are fruit. Now, did you catch his assessment of the Pharisees? What did he call them? Brood of vipers. Okay? So in light of their words, the things that are coming out of their mouth, the things that they've said about him, the things that they say about others, the things that come out of them, their words, in light of their words, Jesus determines what kind of tree, as it were, they are. It says, brood of vipers. They're dangerous. They're untrustworthy. They're harmful. So based on their words, right, the fruit that they bear, Jesus makes the assessment, brood of vipers. Question for you this morning. based on your words, what you say and how you say it, do you ever wonder how Jesus would assess you? If he was in the room, which if you're a Christian here, you believe that he is. He's alive, right? He's still alive. Based on your words, do you ever wonder how Jesus would assess you? Do you ever wonder what kind of tree you are? Our words are fruit. And people, like trees, are known by their fruit. Now, those trees I showed you that we bought from Costco, when we bought them, they had these very convenient labels on them, all right, that said, hey, this tree is a lemon tree, this tree is a lime tree, this tree is an orange tree. We bought those trees a while ago. I don't know, 6-8 months back. I mean, last summer, I think, is what it was. Something like that. It's been a while, okay? And on two of them, there's still no fruit showing up. How do I know that those two were labeled correctly? Like, how do I know that those two trees, the lemon tree is one thing, the other two, how do I know that those trees were labeled accurately? I mean, just because a tree's labeled an orange tree doesn't mean that it actually produces oranges. Hear me. The label doesn't determine the tree. What does? The fruit. The label doesn't determine the tree. The fruit determines the tree, right? Now, here's the thing about these Pharisees that Jesus is confronting. These Pharisees, they had labels. And their labels were beautiful, ornate, self-made labels. They gave labels to themselves that said good. They had labels that they made for themselves that said godly. They had labels that they made for themselves that said we are correct in our opinions and our positions. They had these self-made labels that said all these good things, and yet Jesus says, brood of vipers. Friends, it's not the label that you give yourself that matters, because it's your fruit that reveals the truth about you. Like I said, we were all pretty sick, my household, a week ago, and I was talking to somebody. They were asking, hey, how was it? How are you feeling? And I described to them, it was rough, and I said something. I said, dude, I was sick in bed for a week. But I was actually sick in bed for 4 days. And after I said it, I felt like God's spirit was like, that was a lie. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm exaggerating, you know, but like it was really bad. I'm just trying to paint the picture of how bad it was. You know, I'm trying to like, spirit of God, man. But you said a week. You're only in bed for 4 days. No, I know, but like I just needed to get the point across, you know? It was just an exaggeration. In the spirit of my Jesus. But you didn't tell the truth. That's what a lie is. It's when you don't tell the truth, you know? Now listen, my label for myself does not read lying tree. Okay? It doesn't, if anything, my label says honest. I'm a pastor, right? Like my label must say honest tree. Like it has to. But Jesus says it's not the label you give yourself that matters. It's your fruit that reveals the truth about you. So in that moment, I'm faced with a choice, man. And I felt it. I felt that like conviction, you know, where I'm like, ah,
I'm stuck at a fork in the road now. I have a choice to make. I can do what the Pharisees did. I can reject Jesus' assessment. I can defend myself and explain it away. I'm just an innocent exaggeration, right? I can live in denial about what's really going on inside of me. Or I can yield to what Jesus is teaching. That people, like trees, are known by their fruit. And that it's your fruit that reveals the truth about you. And listen, sometimes that fruit is more sour than it is sweet. You ever said something and then after the fact you realized it was a lie? Have you ever embellished or exaggerated like I just told you, confess that I did? Yeah, I suspect I'm not the only lying tree in the room. You can judge me if you want, but. Like, have you ever been just a little bit surprised about the words that actually come out of your mouth? Where you're like, no, it's gone. Right, like parents in the room. Just real talk for a second, okay? Parents in the room, you ever snapped at your kid? Never. Not you guys, not Restore Temecula. There's no chance. You guys are too holy, right? No, but you ever snapped at your kid? Youth. You ever snapped at your parents? Right? How about this? You ever talked about somebody else in a critical way when they're not in the room? Listen. We can label ourselves all we want. We can make really cool-looking, impressive-looking labels for ourselves all we want. I'm an honest tree. I'm a kind tree. I'm a loyal tree. But guys, listen. The King of the universe, Jesus, says that's not the label that you give yourself that matters. It's your fruit that reveals the truth about you. And in verse 34, Jesus says the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Friends, I'm convinced that too many people are walking through life in denial about the reality of the condition of their heart. In other words, my label says orange tree. No, look at my label. My label says orange tree, all the while the fruit of their words, lemon. 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 My next point for you, if you're taking notes, our words are fruit. They reveal the truth about us. Now, what's really fascinating and probably the thing that got me the most this week as I was prepping this is Jesus says it's not just any words. Did you catch it? He refers to careless words. Look back at verse 36. He says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, we're all going to stand before God, give an account, right? On the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. Now, in the original Greek, it's translated into English, right? That word that's translated from Greek into English as careless, here's what it means. It means words that are marked by a lack of attention, a lack of consideration, a lack of forethought, or a lack of thoroughness. Guys, do you realize what Jesus is teaching here? It's kind of wild. Jesus is saying it's not the carefully crafted words, right? Or the well-thought-out words that reveal the truth about us. He says it's the words that you speak on the fly. It's the words that you speak when your guard is down. It's those words, Jesus says, that actually reveal the truth about us. I got a quote for you. William Barclay, I love his stuff on Matthew. You guys hear me quote him all the time. But William Barclay says this quote, talking about this specific passage in this specific context. He says this quote, "When we are consciously on our guard, we will be careful what we say and how we say it. But when we are off guard, our words reveal our character. It is quite possible for a person's public utterances to be fine and noble, and for the private conversation of that person to be coarse and obscene. In public, words are carefully chosen. In private, the guard is down, and any word leaves the gateway of that person's lips. It is so with anger. We will say in anger what we really think and what we have often wanted to say, but which the cool control of prudence has kept us from saying." Listen to this. "Many people are models of charm and courtesy in public when they know they are being watched, and they are deliberately careful about their words, while in their own homes, they are dreadful examples of irritability, sarcasm, temper, criticism, and querulous complaint. Because there is no one to hear and to see." Listen to this. "It is a humbling thing and a warning thing to remember that the words which show what we are the words we speak when our guard is down." End quote. Everybody having a good time? That's heavy. That's heavy. You ever said something to somebody close to you, and we talk about this, and you regretted it the moment you said it? If you're married, you have. Shoot, if you're alive, you have. I've done this a couple times in my marriage. Like, I've said something that, like, crossed the line. You know what I'm talking about? And what do you do when you say something across the line? If you're like me, it's the back pedal. I'm backpedaling hard. I didn't mean that. Have those words ever come out of your mouth? I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. Do you realize what Jesus is teaching here? He's saying, "Yeah, Tom, you did mean that." He's saying, "Yeah, Tom, you did mean that. You just regret it being exposed." It's the fruit that reveals the truth about us. Listen, we can say, "Hey, I didn't mean that," all we want, okay? We can point to the self-made label, you know, all we want. But those words came from somewhere. Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We've been talking about, for the last couple months, we've been talking about God's, that in the scriptures, you see this, God's intense desire to be hosted by his people. Hosted well by his people, right? And we've been talking about how when we as his people can be united in specific ways and around the desire to host him well because he's worthy, that when that happens, that we get to experience his glory in incredible ways. And we want to be that kind of church. We want to live that way so we can experience more of his glory. Hear me. Living in denial about the true condition of our heart, friends, it will hold us back from experiencing God's glory. How do I know? Because that's exactly what we see with these Pharisees. So that begs the question then, what on earth do we do? I know I'm not the only messed up tree in the room. What on earth do I do? You guys remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? John chapter 8, famous story, right? This woman, she's caught in the act of adultery, which is, you know, that's tough. And the, you know, this mob of guys, they drag her and they bring her in front of Jesus. And they're like, Jesus, they do it to test him. But like, Jesus, this woman caught in the act of adultery, Moses said we should stone her. What do you say? Do you guys remember what Jesus says to her? He goes, all right. He who is without sin, cast the first stone. All those guys, they drop their rocks. They walk away. And Jesus, he turns to her and he says, woman, has no one condemned you? And she's like, no. And Jesus goes, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Friends, that's the gospel. That's the good news of who God is, what he's like, what he's up to, what he's doing. Listen, what do we do? What do we do when the truth about us is exposed? This woman, the truth about her got exposed in a scandalous, embarrassing, humiliating way. Can we agree on that? What do we do when you and I, the fruit in our life, exposes the reality, the truth about the condition of our heart? What do we do when the truth about who we are, about us, is exposed? What do? We repent and believe the good news of Jesus. We repent and believe the gospel. Listen to me. The gospel is not go and sin no more and then I won't condemn you. Uh-uh. That's not what Jesus says. What does he say? He says the opposite. He says, I don't condemn you, then go and sin no more. His motive, he's trying to motivate us to repent, to turn away from sinful, evil, wicked, ungodly ways. How? Through his kindness and his grace and his mercy. Listen, hey, when you and I, when we stop denying our condition, right? When we stop labeling ourselves to cover it up, when we stop defending ourselves, right? When we are humbled and exposed before Jesus, the reality, the truth, do you know what he says to you? Do you know what he says to you? He says to you the very same thing he says to that woman. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Guys, do you know what that is? It's undeserved mercy and forgiveness. It's grace. It's the transforming grace of God. Do you know the scriptures say he's rich in mercy? And it's not just the grace and forgiveness. It's repentance too. Go and sin no more. Remember what Jesus said on the cross? Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. These are the people that are murdering him. Jesus on the cross, he goes, hey, listen. I was condemned in your place. Nobody took my life from me. I willingly laid it down. He goes, I was condemned in your place so that you wouldn't have to for all that sour fruit. gospel is the power for salvation, friends. For freedom. For transformation. From sour fruit to sweet fruit. It's called sanctification. It's a big kind of theological word. But the gospel, it's got some bad news attached to it. It's not just good news. The bad news of the gospel is that on the day of judgment, our self-made labels, they won't save us. Why? Because they're not true most of the time. The bad news is that those self-made labels won't save us, but the good news is that the grace of God in Jesus Christ has the power to utterly transform you from the inside out. If you let it. If you receive it. From a lying tree to a repenting tree. Now listen, I share with you my embarrassing story of lying this week. The reality about me is that, yeah, I'm a lying tree. But you know what else I am? By the grace of God invading my life, I'm a repenting tree too. I'm pursuing, identifying any possible sin. I want to get serious about the sin in my life, guys. Anything I can see, so I can turn away from it, so I can repent of it. So that the fruit of my life would be like what John the Baptist said prior to Jesus. He goes, let the fruit of your life be consistent with repentance. Think about that. That my life wouldn't be just marked by like the fruit of brokenness and ungodliness, but it'd be like, oh, there's fruit of repentance in this guy's life. And that repentance is coming from somewhere too. It's coming from the transforming love of God that I'm trying my best to open myself up to. And I know it's hard because we feel like we got to earn it. I got to do something, right? And Jesus is like, no, I did it all. I paid it all on the cross. I opened my veins. Jesus paid it all. It's finished, he said. And for the person who trusts in that, repentance and faith, repentance that we've talked about this, that's what marks the life of a Christian tree. Repentance and faith. Faith is just trust. I'm trusting that what Jesus did for me actually gets accredited to me. And when I do that, what it does is it changes my insides. And now the very thing that I want to do, which is embellish so I can get sympathy from a brother or a sister, I don't want to do that near as much as I want to honor Jesus with my words. Are you seeing this? It's the process that all of us are under, the gardener. Whew. The brilliant, incredible gardener of heaven cultivating you. Would we yield to him? Instead of going, I don't like that label. What if Jerry sees that label? I don't want Jerry to think I'm a liar. From a lying tree to a repenting tree. From a vengeful tree, right? Repaying evil. So somebody is evil against you, you repay it with evil. That's not going to get us anywhere. From a vengeful tree to a repenting tree. And ultimately, from a guilty tree, a sour tree, to a forgiven tree, where the love and the grace and the mercy and the goodness of Jesus is making me sweet over time. If you're a Christian, that's your life. It's the rest of your life. All right, I'm going to call the band up. I'll close with this. It's going to require that we demonstrate some humility. A woman caught in adultery, man oh man. She could have tried to defend herself. She could have denied it. She could have done all these different things. But she was humbled in that moment, man. She was exposed and she was humbled. All right? James 4, verse 6. God has a way. You guys know this. God resists the proud, but what does he give to the humble? Grace. Oh, anybody else in the room need some grace? Yeah. Listen, the CSB says he resists the proud. Other translations say he opposes the proud. That's what he does with the Pharisees here. We're godly, we're good, we're correct, our theology's spot on, all these other, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like those people, all that crap. Proud. All the while, Jesus is going, I don't care what your self-made labels say, you're a brood of vipers. You're untrustworthy, you're harmful, you're dangerous. But to anyone and everybody who humbles themselves before the Lord, exposes the truth, the reality of their condition, unending mercy and grace. That's what I want. Unending mercy and grace, and that mercy of grace has the power to transform us from the inside out to the degree that we yield to him. Would you yield to him this morning? Some of you have been following Jesus a long time. Would you still yield to him? Every day. Because guess what? The fruit's not gonna stop coming. And the fruit's either gonna be sour or it's gonna be sweet. I felt uncomfortable this week, and it wasn't just because I was recovering. I felt uncomfortable because as I'm recovering, I'm preaching this passage. And all the while I'm going, man, oh man, Jesus, like there's stuff in me I don't want in me anymore. And he's like, yeah, neither do I. That's why I died. That's why I lived in your place and I died in your place and I rose to rescue you, Tom, to save you. Because the gospel is the power for salvation for all who believe. And belief is way more than just acknowledging that something's true, right? The demons believe. No. Who believe him, who trust him, who act in faith. So my question for you this morning, it's a heavy one. Sorry, not sorry. But my question for you this morning is, what kind of tree are you really? I'm not asking about your labels, self-made or other. So listen, some of you, I didn't talk about this. Some of you, the harder part for you is not that you're making your own self-made labels, it's that other people have labeled you in ways that have shaped you and you can't shake it. And they've labeled you in terrible ways. Too far gone, too dirty, too broken, too sour. Forget the labels. What kind of tree are you really? So maybe you're here, and if you're honest, you're looking at the fruit, you're assessing the fruit of your words, and you're like, crap, there's more sour here than there is sweet. If that's you, your next step is not to deny it, not to defend it, but let Jesus humble you. That uncomfortable feeling when we're talking about, oh man, like Tom's talking about words and I've said things, that uncomfortable feeling, learn to love it. Because that's the loving, gracious act of your maker through his spirit convicting you to free you, to transform you, so that you can actually experience the glory of his love. You can feel his grace, his forgiveness, his transforming power, his pleasure that you can't earn, but that a father in heaven just has for his beloved child. If that's you, I want to encourage you, confess and repent and receive his forgiveness this morning. Maybe you're here, and if you're honest, I talk about lying tree, you recognize like, oh man, I've been living as a lying tree. I've been embellishing, or I've been full on bold-faced lying, or there's stuff that you have hidden or whatever. Or maybe you're here and you're like, gosh, man, I feel like God's, I'm kind of the proud tree, or I'm the vengeful tree. I'm repaying evil with evil and it's not helpful to anybody. Maybe you're here. And when you assess the fruit of your words, you're going, I need to take responsibility. I need to take responsibility for some ungodly words that are coming out of me. Friends, confess, repent, and receive forgiveness, because that's what Jesus offers us time and time again. There's nothing he's not willing to forgive. Nothing. He's so gracious. He's so kind. Let's pray. I feel like God's Spirit is highlighting some of us in the room. Your greatest fear is to be exposed. Because you know what it feels like to be betrayed. You know what it feels like to have somebody you trusted, you be exposed to them, and it hurt real bad. And I feel the love of the Father for you. Him saying, that's not me. I made you. He knows whether you're exposed or not. He sees your heart. He sees your mind. He sees it all. And one of the things I love about Jesus is he didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up before he came to save us. Scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He acted first because he loves you. And so I want to pray for anybody in the room right now, Holy Spirit, who's battling those feelings of condemnation. That's not your spirit. Condemnation leads to increased imprisonment. Conviction is the key to the prison cell. Him convicting us is to enlighten us so that we can experience his forgiveness and his grace that all of us desperately need. So that's my prayer. I pray, Father, for this room filled with people to experience the glory of your forgiveness, to experience the glory of your love. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And Jesus, the lengths that you've gone to cleanse us, the lengths that you've gone to make us new, and your faithful love that desires to walk alongside us every step we take in life to transform us from the inside out to bear the kind of fruit that you created each one of us to bear. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience. Man, oh man. Thank you for your grace. Make us new, I pray. Love, will you come up for a second?
He shared, the word exposed came out, and this was a good example of not stepping into fear of man, of what's true, and to be able to boldly speak and share vulnerably. And I think in our world, it's kind of like, oh, that's not wise. Worldly wisdom, be like, oh, you don't want to expose. You lose trust. Oh, but what God says is so important. And I feel like he brought to mind Ephesians 5, where it speaks about light versus darkness. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. And here it's not saying, like, judge others, point this out in others. No, it's a self-reflection. This is about talking about us as children of light, our truest identity. And when we stand in our truest identity, that's where freedom comes from. This was freedom. This was an example of someone stepping into that freedom, not in fear of man, but trusting, because the Lord cares about the integrity of the heart. He cares about what other people don't see. He cares about the inner workings of our hearts and our motives, why we do what we do, all of it. And he's so gracious. He's so gentle. He's so kind, to where it's like at any given moment of conviction, Holy Spirit, to reveal and to show that, there's freedom, because it's like, I don't want to do that. It's a moment to moment, like, act of grace that we get to receive. This is not like we have to take a week or months or spend an hour. It's about what our heart chooses to believe in any given moment. Did what Jesus did on the cross, like, was that sufficient? Do I believe that? In the moment that we do, we have freedom and we can receive his great love. It goes on to also say, everything exposed by the light is made visible, for what makes everything visible is light. Therefore, it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's what Christ does, not what we do. We get to receive. Like, he will shine on us. Like, it is the best gift we could ever receive. This is mercy and grace. I could go on and on, but just to give like a tangible example in photography, in the dark room, in order for a photo, an image to be made, you have to use the negative and expose it to light. And then we can receive what's truly there. I don't know. I feel like that's just maybe an example to like hold on to what really this is saying.
All right, here's what I think God wants to do. We got like 20-ish minutes. I'm going to respond. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able. If you're on the prayer team, would you make your way to the front? We're going to spend the remainder of our gathering, and we're going to respond, okay? And I want to encourage you, hear me. I want to encourage you, if you're in the room, nobody left behind, I want to encourage you to respond to the way that your Heavenly Father, if you're a Christian, might be guiding you. When she said, rise up, sleeper. Some of you, that's for you. Eb, will you come up here? You need to be available for praying for people. If what Ebony said resonates with you, the picture of the negative being exposed and that having an impact on what the beauty of the image actually is. If that's you, if there's things maybe that you're wrestling with that either have recently been exposed or have not yet been exposed, or even just something simple, like, hey, something in my heart leapt within me when she said that, come receive prayer. If you're in a yourself in a season where you're like, man, oh man, like I just want to produce godly fruit. I want to produce more godly fruit. Come receive prayer. Don't just sit with that. And listen, if you're in a space where you're like, I'm just thankful to Jesus. I'm just thankful to Jesus. Won't you praise him? Won't you tell him thank you through your words, through your body right now? The band's going to lead us in a time to be able to offer praise, to deliver God praise, not to get something from him, just because he's worthy. So that's what we're going to do. You can come up at any time, receive prayer. Let's fill this room with praise. And then in 15 minutes or so, we'll close, okay? Love you guys very much. Enjoy them.
Just want to close with a thought based on what Ebony shared about the photograph. You guys remember what she said? She said you have to expose the negative. Do you guys catch that when she was sharing it? In order to develop a photograph, you have to expose the negative. And I just want to leave you guys with this thought. This is what's been going through my mind. Maybe it'll help someone here as it's helped me chew on this message. I think Jesus is calling us not to deny the negative, but to expose it. Not to deny it, but to expose it. I love the thought of a photograph too, because we are under development, aren't we? We're being developed into the image of God. That's what human beings are. We're not God. We're images of God, meant to reflect what he's like, to resemble him in how we relate to one another, how we relate to the world, how we rule, if you like. God is a ruler, and he set rulers on earth as human image bearers to reflect what he's like. And so when we deny the negative, what's actually true about us, we can't expose it, and it hinders our development. I believe there's a call not to deny the negative. If you guys are like, what does denying the negative mean? I got some examples I looked up. Health issues, I'm fine. It's not a big deal when there's relational problems. Refusing to admit that I'm in debt despite the mounting bills. Do you see what I mean? It's denying the negative. But now we're talking about denying, although those could all be a part of it. Talk about denying the negative about the condition of my soul. Don't deny the negative, but expose it. Because what's being developed is an image of God. You and me. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this week. I'm going to land the plane here. To not deny the negative, but to expose it. And you're like, what does that look like? Great question. So for me, what it looks like is I have my three A's. When I notice that there's bad fruit in my life, I'll own the action. That was not good. Action, there's typically an attitude, a pride that's connected to the bad action. And then I'll own my atheism. But you're like, whoa, the pastor just said he's an atheist. You are too. We wouldn't sin if we weren't unbelieving. If I didn't need to be liked and loved by people, I would never exaggerate the truth about myself, would I? If I was at rest in the gospel, I could be honest. It's just one example, as we talked about lying today, but there's so many others. If I actually believed that God was developing my children at his own pace, I'd be far more patient with them. If I actually believed that God was developing me in my parenting, I'd be far more patient with myself. But I struggle to believe. And if you're here, if you're breathing, you do too. You may just not be aware of the ways that you struggle. But here's the good news. When the fruit is sour, it's your chance to do some fruit inspection. To take a look at it. Don't deny the negative, expose it. You know, when I eat moldy fruit, I don't know why I took that route. But it's a truth statement, so I'm gonna roll with it. It's gonna make you sick. All right. We've got a few minutes left. I wanna invite you and encourage you, don't miss the chance to get prayer. If anything that we talked about today, Tom, Ebony, what I'm sharing, or just even better, the Spirit of God speaking to you in individual ways that no one else knows about, I would invite you to come and receive prayer. Don't deny the negative, expose it. I believe there's freedom that awaits anybody who takes that path today. So may the Lord bless you this week with the courage to not deny the negative, but to expose it. And that you may live in the freedom of knowing him, the glory of Jesus. The delight of the disciple is to know him and enjoy him forevermore. May you enjoy him this week, church. Come up and receive prayer. If you have kids in kids ministry, I want to ask that in the next couple of minutes you send one of the parents to go pick up your kids so we can relieve our kids workers. Beyond that, we hope you enjoy your Sunday and you guys have a wonderful week.